thankful for the opportunity to do that, to continue to look into God's Word and share these things with you. I've enjoyed this study that I've been putting together here on baptisms. We do see different baptisms in the New Testament, and so that's what I want to be talking on this morning. And I want to bring everything to the conclusion of what Brother Ethan just read there in Ephesians 4 about the one baptism. But I want to bring all these things to our attention. Let's look at these things, the purpose of some of these other baptisms that we did see in the New Testament, and then the one baptism that we see today. Think about that. Think about baptism. We think about, why is baptism so complicated today? We do all know there's many, many beliefs on the topic today. And there's a lot of divisions today over the topic of baptism. And so, we all know, we all seen, there's some say that as soon as you believe, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and baptizes you. Some believe in multiple baptisms still today. And there is teachings on three baptisms that some teach in the New Testament that are still applied today to us. So how can we know for sure what is right and how to defeat these other teachings that we see? And so that's what I want us to look into God's Word. God has given us His Word. He's given us the perfect law of liberty. He's given us the truth for us to look into. And so let us look into these things today to kind of maybe help explain some of these things to us and help us to be able to teach these things better to others. But I want us to look closer here at the inspired Word of God on this topic. And in that, I want us to look at different baptisms in the New Testament. I want to look at their purposes. And then I want us to realize which one today, or if all of them. We're going to look into these things. But there in Hebrews chapter 6 even, there it's talked about, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And he says, this we will do if God permits. This is something here the Hebrew writer is talking about, and this is some of the elementary things. Sometimes I think we overlook some of these things. We need to go back to these things to drive these points home. But we see here the doctrine of baptisms. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. These baptisms that we see in the New Testament. There is multiple baptisms in the New Testament. We need to all realize that. There is multiple baptisms that we do see. So how do we know which one, or do they all still apply today? Well, first I want us to define the word baptism. This is the English word here, baptism, which comes from the Greek word baptizo, which is translated to dip, plunge, immerse, submerge, bury, or overwhelm. This is a New Testament word. The word baptism or baptize is not found in the Old Testament. This is a New Testament word, and it is used, baptism is used 23 times in the New Testament. The word baptize is used 51 times in the New Testament. But we do see here the meaning of this word, Greek word baptizo. We realize it is to, as we see here, immerse, submerge. It is not sprinkling or other things. We all realize that. So, as we see these things and think about these things, as we go into it, we need to look and find out then what baptism was our Lord talking about when He said in Matthew 28:19, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Was He talking here of this one baptism, or is this many baptisms here? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So I want us to go ahead and get into the baptisms. There is different baptisms that we see in the New Testament, as we've done discussed. We see the words here, baptisms, they are used in the New Testament. And the first one I want us to look at here is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Y'all got your Bibles and we all want to follow along with me. We're going to be looking here, this one real briefly. In 1 Corinthians 10 there, let's read 1 through 6. It says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank that of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after them. So, we see here talking about the baptism here. We've mentioned here, Paul mentioned this is talking about how the children of Israel were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And we all understand that. They followed a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. They did cross in the Red Sea. And then in that, they were baptized, it says here, into Moses. And he's using this, let me realize here, as an example for the Corinthians and for us. So what's the example here he's using this for us? We all realize, and nobody out there, I don't think, I've come across who's trying to baptize into Moses today. But this is a baptism that is mentioned here. It's mentioned here for a purpose. As we're going to look at, each one of these baptisms had a purpose. This one had a purpose. This was given an example for the Corinthians and for us today. Paul started out there in verse 1 there, chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses and in the sea. All here he talks about. Well, let's back up there. And in there, chapter 9, Paul has been discussing with them and striving for the crown. How they to strive for the crown. And Paul even talks about there in verse 26, therefore I run, thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. So what is he saying here? He's letting them know here that you need to bring your body in subjection, that you need to be striving for this crown, and realizing that Paul says, I myself can be found lost. Even if I'm preaching to others, I can become disqualified. He's saying here, these all were baptized, and the children of Israel were baptized into Moses here. But yet, God was not well pleased with them. They all, we know, their bodies were scattered into the wilderness. And so, he's using that as our example today. We better strive for that crown. Nobody's, like I said, nobody out there that I've come across is using this one today, but we need to see the purpose of this. Paul used this as an example. We need to see the example he's bringing to our attention here. Alright. Another type I want us to get on into, the baptism of John the Baptist. We do here see that John the Baptist here was baptized, and we all know that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3, if you will. I want us to look here in John's baptism and the purpose of his baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, there verses 1 through 9, let's read. He said, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So we see here of John's baptism. We need to see here John's purpose here in his baptism. And we can even see here that Jesus himself was even baptized by John here. In verse 13 it says, and Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So we see here that Jesus himself was baptized here by John's baptism. But are we still using this baptism today? Is this the baptism that Jesus sent them out to baptize on the Great Commission? Is this the baptism? We need to see the purpose of this. What was John's purpose here? We talked about in verse 3. This was the voice of one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight. He was to prepare the way of the Lord. He was to make his path straight. That was John's purpose in these things. Well, how do we know that this is not the same water baptism that we see in the Great Commission and through Acts? Well, we can know for certain on that. Acts 19, if y'all will. Turn to Acts chapter 19. And let's look there. We got some here who only knew the baptism of John. And it was that good enough. We come across these here that Paul come across that only knew the baptism of John. Was it sufficient for them? Acts 19 there in verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. We come across, Paul has come across these men who only knew the baptism of John. They did not know to hear the Holy Spirit, and he asked them then, "What was you baptized into then?" And he told them, John. And he told a purpose here. Once again, we see the purpose here of John's baptism. John indeed, there in verse 4, and baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who will come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. He was preparing the way of the Lord. John's baptism had a purpose. His purpose was fulfilled. Christ now has come. He has laid down his life for us. And John's baptism now has served that purpose. And we no longer, we see here, they had to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is what we see clearly here from this. So, but there is a few out there, Baptist churches, who claim their church is founded by John the Baptist, and they're still trying to preach some of certain things. Only a few Baptists. Not all. But some out there do claim that they were founded by John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist did not found the church. He did prepare the way of the Lord, and his baptism had a purpose. It is not the purpose that we see today. It is not the one baptism. Its baptism has been fulfilled. Alright, another one. This is the most controversial one out there. Another kind or type of baptism mentioned in the New Testament is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Much confusion out there we see today is on the baptism here of the Holy Spirit. A lot of confusion. Many believe that this form of baptism is around today and is taught by many. There's many different beliefs on these things. The three baptisms that Mr. Donnie brought to my attention, I've been studying, looking, it was interesting. There is many out there who teach in this. And I have found that even some Baptists now is even trying to take in some of this doctrine. And I've wondered, why are they even trying to go this route? And I look at some of their teachings on this. And this is what I found on some teachings of this. Some teach that there is three baptisms still used today. This Dr. George Wood here says that there are three. The baptism into the body of Christ by the Spirit, which is conversion, he says. And then the water baptism. And then the baptism in the Spirit, which is the Pentecost experience. And we're going to look closely at this Pentecost experience and to see these things and prove this point and to look at the purpose of that purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism was. But this is the teaching that some has today on these things, and we're going to discuss this. I want us to all understand these things plainly. Another one I found on GraceDigest.com had an article talking of three baptisms in Acts 2. The author here says in Acts 2 there are clearly two distinct baptisms. And there is. We're not going to disagree with him there. In Acts 2 we do see two distinct baptisms, and we're going to discuss both of them baptisms today. But he says in another one there, he says, is implied. You don't say it there, but it's kind of implied, he says. He says the first one is baptism by Jesus with the Holy Spirit, the baptism by Christians or disciples in water. Then he says the baptism by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And so we're going to look at these things. That third one there, when he throws in, he says it's not there, but it's kind of implied. Well, God's Word don't say it, and we're not going to speak on it. We're going to be teaching what God's Word says this morning, looking into those things. So we will be dealing with the two that we see in Acts 2. Another one I found, The Church in the Wilderness by Jerry Gentry. And there's only a couple I found here on this, who believes the Holy Spirit, water, and the fire, which we're going to look at these ourselves today. We are going to look at these baptisms, but we need to understand these baptisms, and we're going to understand fire and realize we don't want to be part of that one. But we all want to look into now this Holy Spirit baptism. This is where the controversy comes from. We need to understand these things. But let's go ahead and turn back to Matthew chapter 3 there, if you will. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I want us to wrap this one up really good. I want to spend a little more time on this one because this is where the controversy comes from. This is where the problems arise and not understanding here the purpose here of the Holy Spirit baptism. But I'm there in Matthew chapter 3, there in verse 11, this is where John says here, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. All right, so now this is where the controversy comes from. This is where the Holy Spirit, and then some even say fire, which we'll get to that in a minute. But I want us to look at the things now about the Holy Spirit and its purpose. We need to understand that, where you can understand this Holy Spirit baptism. So let's look here more at the purpose. Y'all want to turn with me to John chapter 14. Let's look at some things here. We need to understand this, the purpose, and why Jesus was sending the Holy Spirit to them. In John chapter 14, there in verse 15 through 17, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So now he talks about these things. Jesus here is talking about this, another helper that's going to be sent to them. This Spirit of truth here. So let's look on Father there and see what this Spirit of truth is. There in verse 26, you follow on down with it. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you." So now we're done seeing a purpose here. This Helper here, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send here in Jesus' name, he will teach you, the disciples here, all things, and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. We'll jump on over now to John chapter 16. Let's look at some more here. It says about the Holy Spirit and His purpose. John 16, there in verse 5, it says, "But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. For if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is telling his disciples here, I must go. I must go away. This Helper would not even come until Jesus went away. Then he says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin." This is here the Holy Spirit. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit here again, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. For whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. So here is a promise here given of this Holy Spirit. We see the purpose here of this Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit here had a purpose. We need to understand this purpose if we're going to understand what the Holy Spirit baptism was for. We need to understand these things. We just seen here from what we read that He will teach you all things, the apostles here, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Who's He talking to? He's talking to the apostles here. This was to teach them all things. It was to bring remembrance of these things that Jesus had taught them. Do we understand those things? You know, when Jesus left, they were still confused. Lord, at this time, will you now restore your kingdom here on earth? They did not understand. When did they have this understanding? We're going to look into it in just a minute when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, then they understood those things. It had a purpose and it was to do these things. It says, "And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And how will He convict it? By the truth. The Spirit of truth reveals those things. The Holy Spirit had a purpose to come, reveal those things, reveal the truth, teach the truth. And He's done those things through the holy apostles we're going to be seeing. But He will guide you into all truth, He tells the apostles. But the truth has come now. We need to understand that. And that's what we're going to be looking into here in a minute. But the truth has come. We see here the Holy Spirit was promised to them. To who? The apostles. The Holy Spirit has given him, was given, we're going to look at. So when did this happen? Let's look with me, if I will, now to Acts chapter 1. We'll turn over to Acts chapter 1. Let's go ahead and look at this Holy Spirit. Promise again. He tells them again here in Acts chapter 1. We have recorded here in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. He says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The apostles here will be these witnesses. They've seen these things. They've been with Jesus. They've seen all these things. And now he's sending the Helper to them, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He's going to bring these things. He's going to help reveal those things to them. And Jesus had to go so that could be done. He had to go to heaven to be glorified. Then we see here the Helper, the Holy Spirit, was sent. Well, when did this happen? Well, look on over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, now we see now when Jesus gave the promise to them again before he sent it into heaven. And now we see them, they're all together with one accord there on the day of Pentecost. There in chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So now we see here that promise being fulfilled, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to them. They were baptized here. They were overwhelmed. They were filled here with the Holy Spirit. And who were? Who is these we're talking about? This is the apostles. They were filled here. We see here the sound that come from heaven came upon them as a rushing mighty wind, it says, and it filled the house and them. And it talks about how these cloven tongues here, or New King James says, divided tongues. Think about that. These divided tongues. Think about a fire. It says, as of fire. It's not saying this was fire that came upon them. This says, as of fire. You ever seen a fire flicker? The tongues of fire? That is what he's talking about here. These divided tongues. Each, and they had one of them, these cloven tongues, or divided tongues, and it sat upon each of them. Each of them. Then, when this happened, they were able to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when they were speaking these tongues here, what were they speaking? A bunch of jibber-jabbers that nobody could understand? Well, let's look there in verse 5 through 8 real briefly. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Everyone heard him speak in their own language. Ain't that amazing? This was not some tongue language that nobody could understand what happened. They didn't have to have no interpreter. Every man heard in his own language when this happened. The Spirit has come upon the apostles. It is now guiding them into all truth. They are able now, because of the Holy Spirit, to reveal these things. The Holy Spirit is revealing these truths to them. It is the Helper that is promised to them. Now think about us today. Do we ourselves today, do we have cloven tongues come upon us? Do we have a mighty rushing wind sound come from heaven to fill us and do these same things? Well, we need to understand the purpose. We need to understand this purpose here, the Holy Spirit. We're going to see the fulfillment of this purpose. I want to look at something in Ephesians here real briefly. In Ephesians chapter 3 here, of Paul here himself. We know Paul was an apostle too himself, by called by Christ himself here. In Ephesians chapter 3, there, starting in verse 1, it said, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to you, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to who? To His holy apostles and prophets. Do we understand that? What, how did Paul here say that these things have been revealed? How did Paul talk about these things here? They have been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. But how are we going to know these things? How are we going to know them? Well, back up there, he just said, there in verse 4. What did he say to us? Talking to here to the Ephesians 2, he says, by which when you what? When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The Holy Spirit does not guide us into those things, but the Holy Spirit has guided the holy apostles and prophets into those things in which they have given us. And now we read those things which has been revealed through what? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had a purpose. It was to reveal those things. It was to bring the truth. It is the Spirit of truth. It was to guide them into all truth. And they guided them into all truth, and it served its purpose. It was to reveal. It did reveal. We may ask ourselves, though, what about Cornelius' household? Well, let's look at that. In Acts 10, there's some more confusion here on these things. Here goes Acts chapter 10. Let's look there at Cornelius' household. In Acts chapter 10 there, 44 through 48. He says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Here we have Peter. I didn't go back and read all these things. This is the Cornelius' household. This is where Cornelius sent to Peter, and the Lord appeared to Peter during the vision. He seen those things there. He had the food cleansed, letting him know that now God is not a respecter of persons to all those who obey Him and does His will. And now, this is what they understand. So now Peter has went to them, and he's speaking the words here to them. And these words he's speaking to them there in the next chapter, he tells us 11 there, he says he's telling them words by which Cornelius and his whole household will be saved. That's what Peter's preaching to them. Peter's telling them things. But what happens when he's doing this? Peter is speaking these words to them, and then the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard. See, they see the Holy Spirit fell upon these. Was this an occasion that happened all the time? Was this something that we see consistent through the Bible that the Holy Spirit fell upon them as they were preaching? No, we do not. But why is this happening now then? We need to look at this. There's a purpose here. Do we understand that right here with Cornelius' household, this is the first time that the gospel now has went to the Gentiles? This is the first time. Do we understand? Well, Peter here has went. Peter understands. You can read here before that. Peter already kind of understands because he's seen the vision. What about these other men who was with Peter? It says there, and those of the circumcision here who has come with Peter, who believed, they were astonished. Why were they astonished? They just seen here the Holy Spirit come upon the household of Cornelius. And as many as came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So here we see the Holy Spirit here being poured out on the household of Cornelius. Was this a baptism in the Holy Spirit? Was they baptized by the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, they were. Well, let's look on down here to verse 11 and make that clarified for those. They're in chapter 11 or the next chapter, starting in verse 12. It says, then the Spirit told me, this is Peter talking here, he's having now to defend what he has done. Why? Because this is the first time that the gospel now has went out to the Gentiles. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in the house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. This was the same as it happened with Peter and the apostles here at the beginning on the day of Pentecost that we just talked about. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how He said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as He gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? So what has happened here? He says there in verse 18, when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. The Holy Spirit come upon them as a sign to show them, to reveal the truth. And that now God has sent out, even to the Gentiles now, He has sent out to them the gospel. The Holy Spirit come upon them. Was this Holy Spirit when they was baptized, was this good enough for them? No. What did Peter say? Peter said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized? Well, ain't they just been baptized? Yes, but this was not the baptism that they was going out to do on the Great Commission. This was the baptism of the Holy Spirit to prove, to reveal the truth to them that now God has even sent out to the Gentiles, called the Gentiles. And so now we see through these things, I didn't go to that one yet, but we see this Holy Spirit had a purpose. The Holy Spirit come upon them to reveal those things. So those of the circumcision would know that God now has went out to the Gentiles. But was it sufficient? Did it save them? No. What were they saved from? It said that we just read, Peter told them words by which they will be saved. The words that the Holy Spirit revealed to them. He spoke these things to them, and then they were baptized in the name of the Lord. That's the one we're going to be getting to. That's the one we're drawing our attention to. So the Holy Spirit's purpose, y'all, we need to understand the purpose of it. It had a purpose. That purpose was fulfilled. That purpose that it come into the apostles, the holy apostles, to guide them into all truth, and they have given us these things now. I think I did want to get into that too. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but then this is the only time that we see the Holy Spirit here is in Acts 2, and on this occasion here with Cornelius' household. But think about these things. So this, we understand now that this is not the baptism that he spoke about on the Great Commission when they was to go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the apostles, we do realize, I don't want to go into all this, the apostles could pass on this gift of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. We can read that in Acts chapter 8. We realize it was only through the apostles' hands that they could pass on the gift of those things. And that was to help carry along the gospel, to help do those things. It had a purpose. But yet, we need to realize now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about those things were for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 13:10, it says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When that which is perfect has come, do we understand when that which is perfect? That which is perfect is the perfect law of liberty in James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. When that which is part will be done away with. Those things back then, it had its purpose. The Holy Spirit fulfilled those things. We no longer see those things today. Those things, it served its purpose. We have the perfect law of liberty. We don't need, the Holy Spirit has revealed those things to us through His holy apostles. We need to understand that as before we go on past this, that it fulfilled its purpose. We no longer see the tongues of these divided tongues come upon us and the sound of rushing mighty wind here and the Holy Spirit fill us so we can understand. He's done revealed it. The truth's been revealed. We have it. Alright, what about the baptism of fire? There's a few out there who take this, but a very simple one, this right here. If y'all will, turn back to Matthew chapter 3 real quick. Matthew chapter 3, to answer this one here real easy. In Matthew chapter 3, in verse 11 there, when he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, what is this fire? We'll read on right here, the next verse. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Matthew 5:22, we're talking about how it's called hellfire. Matthew 25:41, the everlasting fire. And there's more we can look at in Revelation. There's a lot of scriptures to look at on this. Some want to take this is when we're tried by fire, our works. This is not, we're tried by fire. This baptism here, we do not want no part of. This baptism is not now, this is in the future, and we do not want a part of that. This is for those who just clearly see from the verse that follows what it says right there in verse 12. This is the unquenchable fire for those who will not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't want no part of that. Its purpose is not yet here. We don't want a part of that baptism. This one is in the future. So what does that leave us? What does that leave us then when you think about this one baptism today? We see the water baptism into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to understand it. This is the one baptism today, and it's clearly evident and seen. Why do people try to discredit this one baptism today then? I've tried to think about this for a while. Why do, because it's to look into Acts, there's no doubt what that water baptism was for. They were not baptized into John in Acts. They went and went preaching those things, teaching them, and they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And what was the purpose of it? Well, we see the purpose of those things, and we see that carried out through the book of Acts. When it started there in Acts 2:38, they were to repent. They were to repent of their sins. They were here to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And then we see the apostles and those teachers going out doing those things that was commanded as they went on doing these things. But in Acts 2:38, it says, "And Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So they were to go out doing these things. We see this baptism now that the Lord and Savior has commanded them to go out as He commanded them to on the Great Commission. What do we see there in Acts chapter 10 with the household of Cornelius? We've seen them being baptized into what? Into the name of our Lord Jesus. It is that water baptism that they was commanded to go out and do. What are we commanded to go out and do? The same. Why are we baptized? As we see today, we go to Acts chapter 8 and there 35 and 39. Time's already about up. I don't want to go to all these chapters, but this is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Is there any doubt what baptism that was taught there? He preached unto him Jesus, and the Ethiopian eunuch seen water, and he said, "What hindereth me to be baptized?" He said, "If you believe, you shall." And he confessed. He said, "I do believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, and when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit called Philip away, and the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. What baptism was that? Was that three baptisms? Was that four baptisms? That was one baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ. For what reason? For the remission of his sins. And what do we do by doing that? We are buried with our Lord, and we are risen with him into newness of life, as we can read in Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2 and 12. And it is to put on Christ, as we see in Galatians 3:27. It is for the remission of our sins that we talked about, Acts 2:38. These are the things that we see today. This is why we baptize today into our Lord Jesus Christ. And we go out into the world just as He sent them out at the Great Commission, going into all the world, preaching them, teaching them, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is the same that we do today. Do we need this baptism today? Absolutely. Has this baptism fulfilled its purpose yet? Well, this world is still here. As long as this world is still here, this is the only way that we can have forgiveness of our sins is by putting on Christ, by obeying the gospel, by hearing the word that God has given us, the revealed word of truth that has come from the holy apostles, that has been given to them by the Holy Spirit, been revealed to us now. We have that. When we hear the word and we believe those things that our Lord and Savior has given us and showed us, then we can repent of our sins, we can't confess Him, and then we ourselves can be buried with Him in that watery grave of baptism and put on that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have the remission of our sins. We can be buried with Him in darkness in the watery grave of baptism and then be raised to walk in newness of life, just as we see the early church going out doing the same things. That is what we see. That is why Ephesians 4 talks about that one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is many baptisms we see in the New Testament, but those baptisms have been fulfilled except the fire. Fire is still to come. We don't want part of that. But the one baptism we see today is the one that they sent out on the Great Commission. The same one that we must still be doing today. We need to understand those things. And I hope I've been clear on these things. I had a lot to wrap in here to bring around, but we need to see each baptism we looked at. Those had a purpose. They were fulfilled. This one here has a purpose. It puts us in Christ. This is how we are partakers of Him and His death. And then we're raised with Him. But the same faith that operates in God that raised Him from the dead, Colossians 2:12 talks about. That's what we need to do now. And if we ain't done that, we have that opportunity now that we each one can do that. We can all do these things. We can all obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we have not become a child of God now, then we can obey. We don't want to be as 2 Thessalonians 1 and chapter 8, I believe it is, where the Lord will come with flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the will of God, or do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior. We want to obey the gospel. You have that opportunity now. Let me quote that one more time. There in 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 8. And flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't want to be the ones He's taking flaming fire out on. We want to be those who've obeyed that gospel. ones who know God and obey Him. If you've not obeyed God, you have that opportunity now to obey Him. You have that opportunity now to come forward, to repent of your sins, to confess Him, and be buried with Him in that watery grave of baptism in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can be part of that one baptism that we see in Ephesians 4 now. And if you have not had that opportunity, we bid you come now. If you have that opportunity, maybe those here who may need prayer to the congregation for whatever reason, if we can help you in any way, we bid you come now as we stand to sing.